And so he must have been feeling all this. And the next day, he composed the Forget Me Not. And I'm convinced that the blue dress had something to do with him choosing the word Forget Me Not, you know?
Yes.
Which is a blue flower.
Yes, it should be.
And of course, you know, the word Forget Me Not.
Right. Now, just to prevent any confusion, it should be pointed out that this song was composed some years before it was actually published.
Yes.
In the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in this cycle of songs, Eric just collected what he thought were very good songs, and also for the sake of giving contrast and so on, you know, which he always was very conscious of. So that they should be partly dramatic and partly lyrical,
right,
and give a kind of change in pace.
Right. And certainly one of the songs most conducive to a change of pace is the song Der Unvorsichtige, which has to do with a little fly. Maybe you can talk about that a bit, because here's another Busch poem.
Yes. Well, that was Eric's sense of humor. He was strongly attracted by Busch text.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know what made him compose at one time he did this. It's so very well done and so humorous, and one has to hear it to appreciate it. And these songs were immediately very successful and widely sung.
Mm-hmm.
One that was one of the favorites and composed, I think, much earlier than this, because I remember it, hearing it over and over in the time when we were just friends,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that was The Fiddler.
Oh, yes.
And I think it meant a great deal to Eric. It expressed himself, so
I see. Yes, it's almost the perceptive, extremely sensitive little boy who seems to be out of step with the rest of the crowd listening to a street fiddler.
Yeah.
A song that...
And he was the street fiddler, too.
Mm-hmm. You know,
because that was his role at that time. And, you know, at our parties that he sat, and he was mostly there for our entertainment.
I see.
And, of course, we did take him seriously. We knew where he stood, I mean, what he was and what his destiny was. But it wasn't taken too serious. He was just taken for granted, you know?
I see, and yes. Mm-hmm.
I think it was for most of us more important whom we met there and have a good time.
Right. And focusing on, on him. Mm-hmm. A set of small pieces appeared in this year. It's called Three Antique Choruses. And this is, to my knowledge, his earliest use of a Greek motif. He used Greek sources for a couple of these. Did you introduce him to the Greek texts?
No, I think he had them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have seen that in my library there are a lot of these lyrical, and many of them came from Eric's collection.
Mm-hmm.
He either they were given to him by friends. I really don't know what the story is, how he got hold of this.
I see.
But this was from a collection of Greek songs.
Mm-hmm. And one of these texts was subsequently, one of these pieces was subsequently reused, appearing as the Greek melody for three B-flat clarinets. And this was really one of the first pieces of his published in the United States,
yes, wasn't it? Now this is a kind of involved story, and if you want I can tell it now, or shall we tell it in connection with his arrival in America?
Maybe we should put that off till the arrival in America. From this year also comes a large orchestral and choral setting of Psalm 29, a piece that, to my knowledge, was never performed. Did he have an occasion in mind for this?
Or? No, he was always very strongly attracted by religious texts.
Mm-hmm.
It was, he had this very strongly religious nature. As a young boy, probably under the influence of his grandfather, he had been very religious. I mean, observing religious, but at the time I met Eric, this had completely passed. But in his soul, there was this very strong religious.